in this way of time of as a church to pray and fast for 40 days. You know, we never dreamt of something like this, and this is not a man-made thing. Out of our time of praying and fasting as an elders and as a church, we really just sensed the Lord wanted us to consecrate time towards Him. Now, in Jesus' time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees castigated the disciples because they weren't praying and fasting, but Jesus says the time is coming when they will pray and they will fast. And I believe we're that church at this time, and God is wanting to do something in our lives. Not just individual lives, and this is not about going to a prayer meeting, but it's your relationship with God. And I'm really encouraging every one of you to take at least one day a week to actually set time aside to pray and fast. The essence is prayer. The essence is not to do without food. So the essence is you do according to what you are. If you're on medication, be a Daniel fast, vegetables, and whatever God places on you. But the essence is to spend time with God and to hear Him. You know, we all need to hear God's voice. Every one of us. We serve the living God, and He wants to speak. And God loves you so much that He wants to reveal His plans to you, and He's got a direction for you that I could never do from the pulpit. I can encourage you, but God has got a plan for your life, and you need to hear Him. And that's what we're wanting to do over these next 40 days as a church. I really believe it's where God wants to consecrate us and draw us aside out of the world. There's something of a separation that He wants to do from what's happening in the world. And you know, even in our walk that we have, so often we get caught up in earthly things. God wants to draw us out of that and come closer to Him. You know, we even had the scripture today, God is spirit. And we have to get into the spirit. And how do we do that? There's something of putting the flesh down and having time with Him. And I'm really just trusting God that over this 40 days, starting tomorrow to go to the 13th of February, every one of us will be impacted by the living God. And something will transpire in each of our lives that we would have something to hold on to where God has actually taken. Some of you are in desperate need to hear the voice of God. You're doing things and you've been walking with God for years, but you haven't had an experience of Him for some time. And this is an opportunity for God when you're given an opportunity to speak to you. And I really want to encourage you with that. And out of that, folk, I want to also encourage a time of prayer on a Wednesday. This is not something we do as an add-on in the outworking of the church. I know you've got busy lives, but if you can't get to that, I'm asking you, we're going to put those, what we sense him to pray for on the WhatsApp group that you can be praying. I'm asking the church to pray. You know, if the church doesn't pray, we're going to have what we don't pray for. And if you don't pray for your government and you don't pray for this world and what's happening, things are going to go awry because the evil one will take control and bring darkness. And we are the light. And if God answers our prayer, the Holy Spirit wants to use us. And I want to encourage us, please, fathers, teach your children to pray. Teach your family to pray. Essence of prayer is key in the life of serving Jesus. You will see that Jesus' life, he went out. After even he'd done ministry, he went and spent time with his Father and he prayed. And everything was birthed out of prayer. And it's one of the disciplines that when you come out of the world, God wants to teach you to pray. Yes, when people get into trouble, they pray. But we don't get into trouble to pray. We pray because we have a relationship with a living God. And I want to encourage you with that today. So let's pray as we're going to be approaching God's word and allow the Lord to speak to us in a wonderful way today. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are spirit and you've made us also spirit beings that we can connect with you today, and your word is spirit. And we ask that, Lord, as your word goes out today, that it not only go out, but it'll bring life to every one of us today. There will be an outworking of everything that you've intended to take place, that there'll be a transformation, there'll be a renewal of our understanding and our thinking, and not only that we'll gain some understanding, but Lord, our lives would change because we would hear what you're saying, faith would come to our hearts, and we will be determined to follow what you're saying to us. So I pray for that today, that Lord, there'll be an outworking of everything that heaven has desired for today would be on earth. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So out of the time of prayer and fasting, we're going to take 3 weeks where we're dealing with the different guys that are preaching. We're going to be dealing with practicing the presence of Jesus. And we really believe it's such an essential thing what God's doing over the 40-day fast and prayer that we want to just encourage you to practice the presence of Jesus. So the title of the message today is Living with Jesus Today. So I want to tell you that the Lord loves you and the Lord calls you out of this world. But there's something of a response that we got to have as individuals. And I want to just say, if you want to know the Lord Jesus and you want to walk with him, it's going to cost you everything. He doesn't mess around. He gave everything for you. He died on a cross for you. He gave up his role as God at the right hand of the Father. He came to earth to reveal God to us and paid the price for our sin and give us eternal life. But then he calls us to accept him and believe upon him. But that means we give everything. You know this that says you confess Jesus as your Lord and then it just goes fine? No, 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 no. Jesus gave everything. He wants you to give everything to him. This will cost you your life. Jesus said, if you lose your life, you will gain life. You cannot continue to follow Jesus and continue to have two worlds to live in. There's a world out there that is a system, and we know that's a system of the world, and we call it ruled by the evil one. And we belong to a kingdom that's ruled by our king. And if you want to live according to the kingdom of God, there's something that you got to do, and you got to settle that in your heart. Who are you serving and who are you following? You know, when I became a Christian many years ago, I was part of the Scouts and I was eventually part of the Rovers. And I really had a good bunch of friends and they're still my friends today. But you know, when Jesus called me out of the world and he placed me in his kingdom, their lifestyle and my lifestyle that he wanted me to have were two opposing forces. But you know what? We want to please men. And at times I thought, it's fine if I just dabble in the world and be with them. But I found it that as I started to dabble with them, I was starting to be tainted. There was something of that I couldn't get close to God because God is holy. And what I was practicing was unholiness. And eventually I had to get a sin. I had to make a decision, not God. I had to make a decision. And I had to make that decision not only to myself, but I had to make a decision to my friends. And I had to go and say to them, guys, you will always be my friends. You will always be my friends, but I'm following Jesus. And I had to make some clear decisions. I loved hockey, and I was going to play hockey on a Sunday. And I thought, no, if I love Jesus, I'm going to go and serve God, and I'm going to worship him and get together with the saints and gather and worship him on a Sunday. Needless to say, I've never played hockey in my life again. You've got to give up these things and sacrifice for God. And I'm telling you, you sportsmen out there have major issues because all the events out there today are on a Sunday, robbing us of our time to intimately fellowship with God. Encourage us. If you want to give and find Jesus, you've got to give up everything. The rich young ruler, he said, Lord, I'm obeying your commandments. I'm doing all these things. I'm loving my neighbor as I love myself. And the Lord even challenged him even deeper to the roots of his soul. He said, go and sell everything that you have and then come and follow me. That young man couldn't do it at that moment. He couldn't say, well, I have great wealth and how can I give everything up and go and follow Jesus? The Bible says when you find a pearl of great price, sell everything that you might find the pearl of great price. And I believe this is where the Lord has got us. You've got to settle in your heart. Who are you serving? Who are you following? Are you following self? It's one of the biggest gods of the world, is selfishness. You will look at it out the world there today, and you see it right through our newspapers, on our TVs and that. The roaring god of selfishness is there. But Jesus wants to be God and Lord of our lives. And if you want to know him, you've got to give up your life that you can find his life. And that's a key that God has for us. So this design that God has given us. My second point there is he calls us out of the world and then he sets us up with this great design for him to relate to us. And the Bible says is that when you give your heart to Jesus, a miracle takes place that you are born again. And why are you born again? Because God is spirit and only way you can relate to him is by the spirit. And there he says he makes you a new spirit person. The Bible says you're a new creation. And out of that new created being, you can start to relate to God. So you need to change the way you think. You're no longer just body, as the world will tell you, and you might have a soul. They might think you've got a soul behind you. But the Bible declares that our whole being is spirit, soul, and body. And the Bible says clearly is that first you are spirit. We are eternal beings. And that spirit, the old spirit, is gone. The Bible says very clear, the old is gone, but the new has come. And when you are born again, you are a new creation. And you have the ability, God has given you the ability to relate to Him as a spirit being, the spirit. You can relate to Him on the spiritual realm. So that's where you got to start changing your thinking, that you're no longer, even the prophecy that came today, God is spirit. We are spirit, and we need to relate to Him on that realm of the spirit. So we are divine beings, we are a new creation, and then we are called out of this into a divine relationship. You are not relating to a man. You're not relating to a human being. You are relating to the Creator. You are relating to God Almighty. That demands respect and reverence, but also that demands an understanding how great He is, that He is Almighty. He is the one that called us by name to relate to Him. And this is the privilege that every one of us have because of Jesus, that we can have an intimate, personal relationship with the living God. And I want to just say, this is where I really believe God is wanting to encourage us again. That is what Christianity is about. It's not about the liturgy. It's not about the services and the meetings, even though those things are good and what we are doing. First and foremost is our relationship with Him and that intimacy with Him. And when we get that right, then we start to live. Amen. So my text is, if you'll just turn in your Bible, we want to read from John chapter 15, verse 10 to 15. John chapter 15, verse 10 to 15. And these are the words that Jesus spoke to His disciples. We see these were some of the last intimate words that He spoke to His disciples, and they carry much weight if you read them and see what God is actually saying to us even today. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I've told you this that so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So that's the premise that Jesus comes, and no longer are we far away from God. He calls us his friends. He calls us into this intimate love relationship with him and with one another. And out of that, I really believe we start to experience the life of God. So firstly, to build a foundation, we need to understand, to have a relationship and to practice the presence of Jesus, we need to know where he is. I think that's key. So we all know that he's God Almighty and he's at the right hand of the Father, and there he's ruling and reigning with our Father. But also, by the miracle, by the Holy Spirit, from the day of Pentecost, Jesus came to live inside of us if we have confessed him as our Lord. Christ lives in us. So this is important because so often our thinking is that God is far away, but actually our eyes need to be looking inwards because he's found his dwelling inside of us. This is a miracle that the living God can actually limit himself to come and live inside of you. And the scripture comes to encourage us in this. And these were the revelations that were given to Paul, and I really believe is a foundational thing. If you understand who you are in Christ and where Christ is living in you, you will start to walk in victory. So I read Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And Paul declares, and he understands what took place on the cross and how he lives today. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, there's a divine relationship with God. He's come to live inside of you and he's intimate with you already. You might not know that this is where your mind needs to change. You need to understand and need to ponder on this, is that where is Christ? He's in you. So often we're running, where are you, Lord? We need to look inside. He's within us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20, it says here that, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, God built temples, and we'll talk about it now. God built temples for his presence to be in. But when Christ died, the curtain that separated man from God into the Holy of Holies was torn, not from the bottom up, from the top down, and opened up a way that God could be released from a man-made body and be put into us. He's who've confessed him as Lord, and he comes to live inside of us. And we are now the temple of God. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves and see whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Now, you need to know that. This is very important. You need to know that. And we've got to trust God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal to you that what the Word said is true. That's why the Bible is so important. There are truths that we do not know, but God has completed. That's why we need to know the Scriptures and understand what God has actually said, that it can become a reality. Folk, I want to encourage you, as you follow Jesus, you need to know that he's living inside of you. And out of that, he wants to live through you. I think that's such a key thing. There's this life that he's called you to have a relationship with him. It's not you living through him, but him living through you. You hear what I said? It's not you living through him, but him living through you. And that takes submission. That takes surrender. So whenever things are going awry in your life, and that's for every one of us, we all go through trials. When these trials take place, this is where Christ is at his best. He can live through you. It's his life through you, and you can gain the victory through that. Amen. The next point, where was God's dwelling? And we see under the Old Testament that God always wanted a relationship with man. And he started out and he met with Adam and Eve in the garden, and he wanted fellowship with him. And then as we see the scriptures unfold, eventually as Israel was set free from Egypt, God's presence was set up amongst Israel. And we see Moses' tabernacle was the first one. And we see that in Exodus 40, verse 34 to 35, it says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So there was a tent to represent God's presence under the Old Testament. And then further, we see through David wanting to prepare a place where God would live, then Solomon would actually build it in Solomon's temple. And 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 to 13, when the priest withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priest could not perform their service because the cloud, the glory of the Lord, filled his temple. So the essence, when we see, when God's presence comes into the structure that he earmarks, the glory of God comes. And the glory of God is the essence of his presence. And the question I ask is, if they could experience the glory of God under the Old Testament structure, there was something they experienced. Israel knew the glory of God. And under the New Testament, there's no difference. If God comes and lives inside of us, he wants to reveal himself, and the glory of God needs to manifest. And I want to just say, is this is where I really believe God wants to. He wants to reveal himself to us. And that's why this 40 days of setting time aside, he's going to reveal himself to us, and the glory of God is going to be manifest in your life because he has come to live in you, and you are his temple. He's not waiting for heaven to reveal himself to you. It will be a glorious unraveling when we depart from this earth and we go and be with him. We see the glory of who he is. But here on earth, as he dwells within us, he wants to reveal his presence, his glory to us. And remember, his glory is holy. Remember, his glory is righteousness. So we can't poo-poo with the world. We cannot do the things of the world and then expect God to reveal his presence to us. He's a holy God. He's an almighty God. He's a righteous God. Yet he's a loving God. and he wants to reveal himself to us. You know, some of you look at me and say, this is impossible. It is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. And he wants to do that for us. This is how much he loves us. He wants us to realize we see the majesty of his creation. We see the beauty of, we look out there, the fauna and the flora. We see the beauty of that. But he wants to show us the creator of that within us. And will you give him time to reveal himself to you? This is what he wants to do. Yes, it's an intimate personal relationship, and we walk day by day with him. But there's got to be a time that he's got to manifest himself as God. He's not just a friend. He's God. And that holiness, and you know, I think the church has lost a bit of that. The movements in the past, there were holiness meetings where they came and they recognized God and he revealed himself in his awesome holiness. You know, the world and the church has caught a bit of it, is becoming an entertainment model. No. We've got to get to the place where it is a place of reverence, a place of honor, a place of respect, and God reveals his majesty to us. Remember, he is still God. And if we give him time and we open up our hearts and we allow him to reveal it, I'm telling you now, you're going to be changed forever and ever and ever. You know, I know I'm getting ahead of myself. We must believe and we walk by faith and not by sight. But you know what? God is so great. Sometimes you need to experience the manifestation of God. It's not good enough that we go right through life and you know God's God. There's got to be something of giving opportunity. Now, Lord, you've got to reveal yourself. And you know, we all need that. You need that time where the presence of God comes. And you know what? These eyes cannot keep the tears out. Soon as God's presence comes, the weeping comes. I don't know if you've experienced that. The weeping comes because there's a holiness. There's a wonder to stand and be in the manifest presence of Jesus. It's available, folk. It's available. It's all for us. And God wants to reveal himself to us. So God's habitation is within us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory again, God's presence to do that. So I want to take us a bit further. How do we see not just those times of experience, but how do we see the manifestation of who God is in our lives? And I believe it really comes back to that scripture that we read about obeying the Lord and remaining in his love and loving one another. So we need to be walking in obedience and in the love of God. Remember, the love of God is not of this world. The Greek word given is agape. It's given by the Holy Spirit and deposited in our hearts. But it's something not to be a deposit on the mantelpiece and we say we've got the love of God. The love of God needs to be given. And God wants to reveal his love not only to us, but to this world out there. And I want to tell you, it's one of the key weapons, the key outworking of our lives is the love of God. It's the thing that differentiates God. As much as he's holy and he's righteous, he is a God of love. And we need to see that love worked out in our lives. But firstly, I want to just encourage us in this aspect of love. And we know the great command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I want to turn it a bit upside down. And I would say, loving yourself. I believe is a premise that you can't love one another if you don't know that you are loved. That's a key because, you know, there are too many broken people out there and even broken people in the church going through trauma and hurt and offense and all these things. And they can't love. They need to be loved because they've never been healed by the love of God. And I want to just say there is a time, and maybe over this period of time, if you need healing, that you need to know that God loves you. Because when you know God loves you, you will be able to love others. You will be in a place of knowing that you've been accepted and that you'll know that you're his child and you'll be able to administer the love of God from the correct basis. Otherwise, you're giving from a broken vessel. You're not a river flowing. You're dripping out the love of God. But God wants us to be rivers of living water flowing from us. And that wholeness has got to be within us. And you know, Jenny Pretorius works with a lot of us to get us to a place of wholeness. But I want to just say, all of us need to be working, and including myself. We all need wholeness. And I ask you the question in your relationship with the Lord, when last did you hear the Lord say to you, I love you? And I think that's key, because God, some of the first words he says, I love you. And that's such a key thing, because otherwise the foundation of your relationship with him may be duty-based. And yes, that's not necessarily wrong, but the right way is a loving relationship. Imagine if our marriages were based on duty and not on love. It would be death. And God realizes that, and he wants to reveal himself to us. So God created us to be loved, and he needs to reveal his love to you. And he wants to do that. He wants you to experience his love. You know, in the scriptures, the Bible says very clearly, God loves us so much, he knows the very hairs on our head. Do you know how many hairs on your head? Arthur doesn't, eh? Sorry, Arthur. I don't. But God knows how many hairs we've got. And that's how intimately he loves us. And he wants to liberate us. And we need to be in a place, because, you see, then we can be content in our circumstances because we know that we are loved. So the world might be raging out there, and maybe you're not getting your salary, and maybe your debtors aren't paying you, and maybe there's sickness and stuff. But when you know that you're loved, that you can be content and you can deal with everything that is facing in your life, because you know God loves you. I want to be open and transparent, you know, through this time of prayer and fasting. The Lord spoke to me about my identity and who I am, and he revealed to me is that over time, I've gained my identity about being a pastor. And when I do the role of a pastor well, I feel good. And the Lord rebuked me and said, you got it wrong. Your role of a pastor is important, but it's not your primary purpose. Your purpose is to be my son. And I'm starting to unravel my thinking and understand my thinking and say, okay, Lord, I'm first your son. And I'm going to live like a son. And I know when my children live in my house, they have free rein to anything in my house. They can go to the fridge and they can take out what they like in the house. But if you come in there and you're the servant and you take something out of my fridge, I'm going to be cross with you. And I want to say God wants us to be sons and daughters of the Most High first and have that confidence to go forward. You see, when we understand that Jesus lives in us and he's an enabler of his love within us and we accept it by him, we will break the authority of the guilt and the rejection and the shame that has grabbed us. You know, the devil, Satan himself, will want to destroy you and bring you to a place that know that you're not loved. He will always try and bring guilt upon you. We have all sinned, and he will try and bring that guilt upon you, the shame of that thing. But Jesus comes to cleanse us from all that and brings us to a place of righteousness in him. The devil will always bring you to a place of rejection, and God brings you to a place of acceptance and oneness with him. He brings us to a place of intimacy. So understand also that our warfare is not against flesh and blood. And when you find that you do go into those places of guilt and shame and rejection, understand that's not what God has got for you. And stand against those things. And, you know, if you need help in those areas, there are people to help. There's people in the life of the church. We'd love to pray with you because these are spiritual things. There might even be demonic authorities that are working in your life where you've opened up the door to the occult and to things in your life. And you got authorities in your life that you need to be delivered of. And the Bible says we cast out demons and you can be set free. Why? That you can get back to the intimacy with God, not just for freedom, but the liberty of walking with God. And God wants to set you free from those things. Then secondly, once we know that we are loved, we can love God, the person God. And I want to just encourage you, it's one of the most liberating things in my life is my relationship with my Lord. I love my family, I love my wife, I love you, but I want to tell you something. clearly today, I love God more than you. He's my number one. I battle with it at times because there are many distractions, but he's my first. I have no one else. I've purposed in my life to make him first in my life. And I want to encourage you to do that. There's no one greater than him. We're all different. And the diversity is the wonder of God. But in who you are, God will relate to you for who you are. And the way he relates to Eloise and to Nikki and to Judy and to the men, he relates to us in who he created us to be. And he's just so wonderful. If I want to say something to you, I really recommend a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. It's the best. It's the best. I just thank God. God called me and has called you to have a relationship with him. And then he calls us out of that to go and love others. And I know this is hard, folk. But you know, when we lay down the flesh and we sacrifice ourselves to go and love others, it brings the fullness of life. And I know we've got battles in our lives when it comes to these things. We've all got pressure of time and resources. But when we purpose to love one another, I'm telling you now, the fullness of life becomes a reality. That we see the good in other people. We don't see the bad. We don't criticize. Let me tell you, you pointing the finger, you got three pointing back at you. The Bible says, take the plank out of your own eye. We've got to be very careful when we start to act in judgment and that. We are called to love people. And if people have got issues in their lives, hand them over to God and let God sort them out. You are not the one to change them. You cannot change. You can love them. That's what God's told you to do. You can love them. You cannot bring them and mold them into the image of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You have got to love them. And I'm telling you now, you will achieve more by loving people than trying to mold them. Try your children to mold them. They will rebel. Love them. They will be nurtured. They will grow. They will blossom. And the beauty of heaven will come to them, and you will see. Yes, there will be times that they're all over the place. You will see God do something. And the same with you. We as an eldership and as a leadership team, we don't want to put you in a box. We don't want to mold you. We want you to be liberated and free and to be who everything God wants you. We want to love on you, that you will achieve in God everything he's destined for you in your life. We want you to be the best son and daughter that God has intended you to be. And important about loving others, we are to love all men, all races, all creeds, all language groups, all sizes, all genders, all age groups. One of the greatest challenges that we have today is this gender issue. And I want to just say to you, we know what's right. But you know what we need to do? We need to love those who don't know who they are. And through the love of God, God will change them. We're not trying to change a political system and the systems of the world, but we love those individuals for who they are. God will do something in their lives. Again, we know what's right and wrong, but we love them. So I want to just say those of all the genders out there and all the different creeds out there are always welcome in the house of God. But we love them. We don't accept their lifestyle, but we love them. And that's such a key for us as we go forward and we serve God. And then Jesus gets us to a place and he says, love your enemies. And we know that from Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 to 48. And I'm telling you now, you will find that the Holy Spirit will lead you, that every one of us, you will have an enemy in your life at some time in your life, someone that will be a thorn in your flesh. And you will pray to God to remove it, and God says, I'm not removing it. He will tell you, my grace is sufficient for you, and he will tell you to love them and to truly bless them. Every one of us, you might even have in your workplace, it might be relationships in your family. There are people that are seemingly thorns in the flesh and enemies to you. God's not going to remove them. You love them. You love them, and you purpose to love them. And it's not easy to do that. Jesus went to the cross. They crucified him. The Lord of all, they crucified him. And while they had nailed him, They put the nails in his hands and they put the nails in his feet and they put the sword in his side there. He couldn't breathe because, you know, when you were on the cross, they couldn't breathe. He was suffocating. And in his breath, he pulled up and he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Isn't that incredible? He loved his enemies. Do you know, every one of us were the enemies of God. Do you know that? You weren't saved because you were a good person. You didn't come to Jesus because of your good works. You were his enemy because you were a sinner. And his purpose was to obliterate you, to take you out. But because of Jesus, the love of God came and you became his child. Isn't that an incredible message? Sure. How do we also walk with Jesus? We need to walk in forgiveness. You know, in the Old Testament, what they needed to do, they needed to shed blood of goats and animals to work out the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus gives us authority to forgive. To forgive. And I want to just say, if you want to keep your relationship with the Lord working well, we need to forgive. And the disciples went to him and said, "Lord, how do we need to forgive?" And they thought they were pious and they were righteous. And they said, "Well, let's forgive 7 times." And the Lord said, "No, 70 times 7, 490 times. And some say it's 7 to the power of 70. That's 2 numbers and 54 zeros. So you don't have a choice in this matter. God says, forgive, because he forgave you. And I'm telling you, it's one of the most liberating things that you'll find in your life. And be careful of the enemy, because he'll bring a snare into your life and you think the issue becomes the person, but actually it's an issue of unforgiveness. And you've got to deal with forgiveness. And I want to encourage you, if over the years that have been in the ministry and dealing with people, this is one of the traps that the devil brings to the church to ensnare people, that when something happens to you, you take an offense, you get a grudge, and the devil's got you. And it hinders you and your walk with God for years and years and years. And you never get to the next level. You've got to forgive. When we forgive, because Jesus has forgiven us. You know, in 1 John 1:9, it says, we ask God forgiveness, and then he forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If he cleanses us, what right do you have not to forgive another? Many marriages are broken because of unforgiveness. Many relationships and many families are separated because of unforgiveness. Can I tell you some of the roots of broken of families is money. Money gets in the way. And I want to just say, let's not let that get in the way. Let's ensure that we keep clean slates and that we forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us. So what are some practical handles as we come into an end? How do we build our relationship and our friendship with Jesus today? Develop Jesus as your pattern. Follow his life. Follow his life and go read. It's always good to read the Gospels again and see how Jesus lived on earth. Jesus showed us the way. That's why he said, come and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And Jesus is our pattern of what we follow in. And I want to encourage you, as the Holy Spirit reveals aspects of his life, follow him. Then secondly, develop a passion for the Lord Jesus. And today, I see the world that doesn't have a God and the passion that it has. And I'm not being critical now, but I look at the UK, and if I'd honestly had to say, what is the God of the United Kingdom, I must say British football. And Man United has a cult following that people will lay down their lives to follow a football team. And that's a reality, and we see that there are so many distractions in the world. People, there needs and be a need to have a passion for something. Our passion is for nothing else. I'm saying to you, you can have interests. You can have the creative journey, and I think that's fantastic. There's an expression of God, but our passion is Jesus. Nothing else. It's him, and he's an expression, whether it's sport, whether it's into your using your hands or cooking or baking, the creative design that God's given us into understanding at different levels. We are so diverse, but the passion must be Jesus. And I want to encourage you to strive for that passion of with Jesus. Because you see, as we get hungry for him, he comes and becomes the reality of him. His presence becomes a reality. On the day of Pentecost, as they were waiting, as the Lord said, wait, those people on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, they were hungry for God. And the scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There's got to be a hunger and thirst for God. You know, we were cycling yesterday, and it's quite hot out there at the moment. And I've got two drinks. I've got water, and I've got an energy drink. And the energy drink wasn't enough. I had to drink water. And you know, I want to just say to you, you can have the world and all its things that are added to that. But when it comes to water, which is the living water, Jesus said, you will not thirst again when you drink of me. And I want to encourage you, let's drink of Jesus. He is the living water. Thirdly, continue your public confession of Jesus. This, what's inside of you, must bubble out. There's a wellspring within us, and we've got to allow our love for God to bubble out and to be shared with those around us. People, if you believe Jesus, people must see Jesus in you. They must experience him through you, and this must just bubble out. And your testimony, we are not religious. We don't follow a system. We follow in a person, God, and he must bubble out of us wherever we find ourselves. Where Trevor, you're on driving the buses to Malcolm, you're in the office with the people, wherever you find yourself, there must be a bubbling up, an effervescence of an outpouring of this living God within us. They should be able to differentiate you from the world. Not because you're different, because you've got a person who lives inside of you. So work hard on that relationship. I want to just say it's things that can rob you of your relationship with God. Don't get legalistic with God. Don't try and put rules and regulations. It's good to be disciplined, but don't get legalistic with him, and don't get legalistic with other people. Don't get into money. We need money, but don't let the love of money grab you. It's a trap. It's a trap. You know, don't look at the end of your day and see how much money I've got and think you're fine. Jesus said today that money can be gone. Don't put your trust in money. Put your trust in him. You know, one thing that God said to that rich young ruler, he says, sell everything now and your riches will be in heaven. Which is more important, the eternity that we all are facing one day to be with the Lord forever. Don't turn to the pleasures of the world and sin at any religious system. We can't be holding on to those things. We need to make Christ known and brag on him. Then fourthly, we need to feed and meditate on his word. I want to encourage you, the transforming power of the word of God as we read the scriptures, not only just read the scriptures, but meditate on the scriptures, because the word of God is a light to our path. And God has revealed himself through his word. And the Spirit of God comes and takes the word of God and brings light to us and shows us which way we should walk, to the left or to the right. It's incredible. So please take time to read the scriptures and meditate on them. They are no good sitting between the folders. It's only good when you have meditated on it and the Spirit of God comes and brings revelation that you find him. And you find him. Then commune with him. And I want to encourage you, one of the greatest ways that we can commune with him is breaking bread with him. Do that regularly with him. You know, we wait for us to gather again, and we gather together in our corporateness. It's good to do it then. But I'm saying it's also good to do it individually, as married couples, as individuals, as life groups. Break bread together regularly with one another. Because you know what the scripture says? Do this in remembrance of me. And when you remember him, something of the wonder, you've been obedient to the scriptures. You are following him. Something transpires in your life. And the next point, give and it will be given to you. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and it will pour into your lap. for the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So many times the scripture has been used in the area of finances. I want to just say it's in the area of giving Jesus. Give Jesus. Give Jesus, and he will be poured out, and you'll be poured into your lap the fullness of the measure of him. You cannot limit God, and the fullness of him you can never measure, and he wants to give you more of himself in your life. And then finally, strive for Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. You cannot do any of this unless you're empowered by the Spirit of God. Christ can come and live in you, and he dwells within you and the reality of that relationship. But to do what God has called you to, Jesus needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, so do you. He needed power from the Holy Spirit, so do you. And we need to be enabled. And I want to just say, if you've never experienced Pentecost in your life, you've never been filled with the Spirit of God in your life, I want to ask you after the meeting, come to the front. Because there's more. There's more. And the Spirit of God wants to reveal Christ to you and his power working through you, and allow God to fill you with his enabling. That's what the power of the dunamis is, the power of God to enable you to live in Christ and Christ in you, and to find that fullness going forward. So my injunction and my conclusion to all of you today is live with Jesus. This is what we've been called to know him and make him known, and working together or partnering with the Holy Spirit, such a key thing. Now, I don't want to just leave you there, because I believe this message demands a response. You cannot just hear this message and get on with your life and do it the same old way. It's not between me and you. It's between you and your Lord, what you're wanting to do. And I'm asking you to respond to him and say, Lord, I want to go deeper with you. I want to know you, and I want to fulfill every plan and purpose that you have for my life. And I'm not asking for hands, because I don't believe this is a hand thing. This is a heart thing. But I want to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to give you a moment to be quiet, and you respond in your heart to the Lord. You can read your mind, what you're thinking, and you say in your heart. You respond to him, and once you've done that, I'll pray a prayer for all of us as we go forward. Let's do that. Father, I bring your people before you, and we stand before you in the finished work of Christ and in his name. And Father, you see our hearts and you've seen our responses to you. I want to just tell you that we know that you love us and we love you. And as you are bringing us as a family into a deeper consecration, a sanctification of walking closer with you, Lord, just thank you for a start of faith here today, that we believe, Lord, as we committed ourselves to walk closer with you in an intimacy with you, that, Lord, that your glory would be manifest not only in our lives, but bring glory and honor to you and praise. So, Lord, we commit our ways before you now, that we can continue to understand what it is to live in you. Holy Spirit, apart from you revealing Christ, we can't do it. So I ask even now, as our hearts are open and receptive, will you fill every individual that is open to you to receive, fill them with your power and your presence. I just release that, the dimension of you over us as a people now, in Jesus' name. I just thank you now, Lord, for your rivers of living water flowing from within your people now. And then, Lord, take us into everything that you have for us. And I do pray, Father, is that over this 40 days that we've consecrated to you as a family, Lord, that the divine would be a reality, that there be heaven on earth, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that the fullness of Christ and the outworking of what everything that you've destined for us would be a reality. So, Lord, come and have your way amongst your children. Bless us as we serve you, as we follow you, and we lay down our lives totally for you. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity and this privilege of being able to be led by you into this fullness now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. If you do want prayer afterwards here, we are here to pray for you. Live for Jesus. Amen. God bless you all.